How many of you parents, your children are older like me, and I mean, you know, got grandkids now. How many of you are like that? And I got to ask a question because I'm not sure I'm the only one. Maybe I am the only one. When your kids confess to a sin they committed that you didn't know about, what do you want to do? It's been 20 or 30 years since they did it. What do you want to do? Huh? Get the board. I heard about something this morning I did not know about. No, a board sounds better. The Lord said to use a rod. Amen. Good night. You really chased him around the table with a kitchen knife? All I remember is one day I walked in the house, and you can look right through the kitchen window in our living room, and evidently they didn't know I was walking in the house, but I walk in the house, and I see a body fly out of a room, hit the top of the coffee table, it was front of the couch, had some little trinket-like things there that didn't last through this escapade, bounced off of that right into the couch. Same two brothers. More like a concussion. Hebrews chapter 13. Book of Hebrews chapter 13. You who have children at home right now, you may want to write down all these things as they take place. Because I hear about a lot of things I didn't know about back then. We got home from a trip to find out that my sons were about 3 o'clock in the morning out here hunting rabbits in the backyard with the van. Not with a gun, with a van trying to run over them. Was that you again? Jeff, I gotta apologize. Okay. Careful, Quentin, we'll go talk to your mama. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can laugh. You have said that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And Lord God, we know there's times to be serious. We know there's times to be full of the joy of the Lord, and it comes out in laughter. But Lord, right now we realize that we're about to look at the Word of God. Nothing more important can be brought into our life than your very words. And so we pray that you might bless in that. You've also said that there's power in preaching. Lord, it's not the preacher, but it's the Holy Spirit of God, and we covet you today to move upon our hearts, to speak to us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 13. If you'd go down with me to verse number 8 this morning, verse number 8. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. Aren't you glad of that? Let me ask you something. How many folks, we'll take a survey, how many folks do not like changes? You're like that. Okay? You don't like changes. If something new comes along and it's got to change something in your life, you don't really care for it. See? If we walked in on Sunday morning, we took the offering when you was walking in the door and you had to put a certain amount in order to get into the door, that'd be called admission, wouldn't it? We would, I'm sure that would just foul things all up. See? What if we preached first and had the songs afterwards? Music is very important, as we're going to see this morning. But we're not real keen on change. Somebody this morning was showing me a book of Council Bluffs, some pictures of old things in our city, of buildings that used to be here and so forth. And as I looked at a couple of those pictures, somebody said, it should be nice if those were all still around. And the thought came to me, if they were, we'd be a ghost town. Things for mankind need to change, but not God. He's always the same. Praise the Lord for that. What's that make him? Dependable. What's that make? Always available. That's our God. So Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers. Put an E on that. It'll probably help you understand that word better. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the gate, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Great, great verses. We find that there's something that God did with us, and that is he created us, I believe, to bring praise and honor to him. I believe we were created to praise. I find that even non-religious people have a need to praise. And so what do they do? Oftentimes they give praise to athletes, to singers, to actors. And this kind of praise, if you've ever noticed, is not silent. Have you ever gone to a football game? Everybody just sat there stoic. No, people get excited. Some of you folks, if it's on TV, you're shouting at the TV. I mean, you're screaming, you're up and you're down and so forth. And I would say this to you this morning. Our praise to God should not be silent. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter 115. Verse 17 says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Again in chapter 138, verse 4, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of my mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. You cannot have praise for God and do it silently. Somehow, there is something that comes forth. In our text, we find that our praise is labeled here as a sacrifice which pleases God. He says in verse 16, sacrifices, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What's the sacrifice? Well, verse 15, the sacrifice of praise. The picture rendered here is of the Christ who never changes, even in type. In other words, He is the sin offering that was taking place way back in that day and before that day. That sin offering, as they brought it to be sacrificed and the blood to be taken to the Holy of Holies, the body was taken outside of the tabernacle, out of the city, to be completely consumed in the fire. Other offerings were sacrificed in the tabernacle, and the one who was offering it also ate of it. He received benefit from that sacrifice along with the Levite. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. This offering that we're looking at here was representing Christ, the one who died outside of the camp, remember? His blood was then taken to the Holy of Holies in the heavens. Our praise here is one that understands the temporal setting, the temporary setting of Jerusalem, and we follow him outside of that city, seeking another to come. We're looking forward to that time with the Lord. This praise cannot be silent, for it is our lips that offer it, and thus it comes out as great sound. Consider with me this morning, there are five different acts of worship, I believe, that are set forth or intimated in the New Testament. First of all, singing. In Ephesians 5, verse 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A sister verse found in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So we find that there is this act of worship as we sing. I am so excited as they come Sunday after Sunday, and you folks have been singing out like never before. Do you have any idea what that means to God? Do you realize what that means about the health of Open Door Baptist Church and its congregation? It says everything, because there is that which comes forth with loud noise. Some of you say, well, I can't sing. Well, listen, I want to tell you this. It might not be pleasing to other people, but it is pleasing to God. God loves it. I believe there's another act called giving. We've looked at that in the last week or so, and we looked at faith promise. I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians 9:6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Listen to these words, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It brings glory and honor unto him. By the way, if you were not here last Sunday night, we found out that we had a 12% increase in missions giving over last year, which had been a 15% increase over the previous year. I stand amazed at what God is doing through people. So there's singing, there's giving, there is praying. In 1 Timothy 2:8, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I believe it brings honor and glory to him. Even as we did a week or so ago, as we sat and took of the Lord's Supper, he says, as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. And it is something that there's always that which the noise part, that's me speaking, but it's that which brings honor and glory to him. And of course, I believe that preaching is that which also is an act of worship. The preaching of the cross, them that perish, foolishness, but us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. As we look in the Word of God, we find that there were choirs and orchestras. I'm amazed at how often we find those. I'll not go through a list this morning, But we do know that it was a vital part of the worship of the Jewish people. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse number 33, after listing all sorts of people for different things and really giving genealogies, he says this, "And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remained in the chambers who were free, for they were employed in that work day and night." Again in chapter 25 and verse 6, it says, "All these were into the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord." Now listen to this. There is orchestra with it, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God. And what was the purpose? It was to bring honor and glory unto God. In Josiah's time, under revival that took place, we find it says, "And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the commandment of David." And we find that many there, they gathered together, and they were those who were prepared to sing the wondrous glories of God. We find in the book of Nehemiah, it was a great part of the rededication of the temple. It says, "And the singers sang loud with Jezariah, their overseer." There was the director. I find from the Word of God, there's a choir in heaven. In Revelation, it says, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" The heavenly choir. I find as I look through the Word of God that even creation sings. In one place talks about the stars singing. In Psalm 96 says, "Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice." And I can just sum it up with Psalm 66:1, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands." As we consider the scriptures on sacrifice and the sacrifice of praise specifically, I believe we notice some very valuable principles. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35, as Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, and the Holy Spirit of God had this recorded, it says, "And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" What's the principle? Sacrifices are beneficial to the sacrificer. I don't know how good that English is, but listen to that. Sacrifices are beneficial to the sacrificer. Who ate the Passover lamb? It was of the household that brought the lamb before the Lord. Who benefits when there are things that you and I give? We become those who are beneficiaries of it. It's just a principle of God. It's like whatever we give God, He gives back to us. Whatever we try to sacrifice unto Him becomes a blessing to us. Let me give you something that somebody told me many years ago. One of the first times that somebody came up and offered me something, I don't know what the gift was. I felt very shy about receiving it. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, it was somebody who was not very well off, and they wanted to give that to me. And I said no. And the person said, "Don't rob me of a blessing. Don't rob me of a blessing." You see, when you and I are willing to give of ourselves, it is that which comes back to us. Marvelous as it is. The second principle I'd like for us to consider this morning is that praise as I find from two verses particularly, comes out of a fullness of the Spirit of God and being immersed in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. We find that it follows the verse that says, "Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." We find that it does not end with a period, but actually we find that it goes on, and there are three results of that filling of the Holy Spirit of God. One of those is found in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. From a fullness of the Spirit of God comes forth that song. From a fullness of the Spirit of God, we begin to sing. Though it may not be pleasing, as mentioned, unto others, it is pleasing to God. How many mothers have heard their children singing to the top of their lungs, and they were way off key, and they didn't even have the tune right, but it was a beautiful thing to your ears. Marvelous it is unto God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. What's it come from? It comes from fullness of the Spirit of God. I believe also, and they're very, very closely connected, it's being immersed in the Word of God. We go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we find the exact same results. But what we find there is not the fullness of the Spirit of God, but one who is immersed in the Word of God. Listen to what it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Let it, allow it. God wants that in your life. We must allow it. And then it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Marvelous what music will do for us. Not only we give glory unto God, not only do we receive blessing as a result of it, but we find through our song that it can be that which is helpful to those around about us. You older folks, how many can remember when you first started school and you sang the alphabet song? How did you memorize the alphabet from that song? You see, if you can put something to music, it's amazing how it is retained in our soul. And so God is teaching us something very valuable here, that as we allow His Word to come into our soul and to come out in musical terms, it will be that which brings honor to God, because we are what? Teaching and admonishing one another. We all get depressed. We all get distressed. And have a brother or sister that comes along with that joy in their heart showing forth in song, it has an effect upon us. That's why we sing in church. By the way, when you have dead singing in church, the atmosphere is altogether different. And it's not near as uplifting to the people. And it brings glory and honor unto God. And lastly, and I've mentioned it's really the heart of the message today, praise is never quiet. Again, let me read. Psalm 115, verse 17 says, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence." When we want to bring praise, we speak. When we want to bring praise, we sing. When we want to bring praise, we shout. When we want to bring praise, we make some noise. Because we're excited within. It's never quiet. And so I say with all of those remarks, if you don't have praise in your heart to God for His greatness, If you don't have praise in your heart to God because of His grace, His mercy, if there's not that praise in your heart because of His great, marvelous love, I would say there are one of two things that need to be in your life. One is you need Him as your Savior. You need to accept who He is and what He's done for you. Or number two, Christian, your mind has been set upon yourself rather than the Lord. And it's so easy to go in that direction. When we look back in the Old Testament, we realize that the church is not Israel fast forward. But we can recognize that Israel is a type of the Christian. In other words, Israel, they were brought out of Egypt. How did it happen? Under the blood. They were separated by the Red Sea from their past. They're now on a new journey. And we find that in that journey they complain often. Sound familiar? Do we not? Do we not come across difficulties and we see God take us through those things? As we stop and consider, they were very prone to wander away from God. I had the privilege as a little boy to watch my dad farm. Farming has changed a great deal since those days. And the work was very hard. It's not any easier today. They have more land, in some ways a lot more responsibility. But at our farm, we raised hogs and cattle and sheep. And my mom would go to the feed store and bring home about 100 chicks every spring. I was telling Chad earlier, we had a chicken house that was as long as this room and about from here to that wall. We didn't have fences to keep them in. They just ate bugs all over the house. We didn't let them in the house. They'd be in the yard all around. We didn't need zappers out in the yard. Chickens took care of that. But I remember the sheep. That was an added thing when I was a little boy. And for 2 years they had sheep. And when God gives an illustration and He calls Himself the shepherd and calls us sheep, believe me, it's not a compliment. Sheep are basically defenseless. And sheep are prone to wander. It's their nature. And that's what you and I. How do we help each other? As we refocus and lift each other up as we're praising God, not ourselves. As we're bringing honor to Him, it lifts the spirits of others. And so, if your heart's not right with Him, you're not going to be in that position. Matter of fact, you're a brother or sister that we'd like to see raised up. And the only way to go up in that regards is to first go down to the knees and say, God, forgive me. But if there's not praise in your heart for the Lord, I mean, if you're not consumed with these kinds of things, you need to check out, am I really a Christian? A Christian is a Christ one who has accepted His grace. And if you're a Christian, you need to look and see, where have I wandered off from? You need to get back to where you were. And that's possible. Let God have His way in your life this morning. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You. Oh God, thank You that we can sing of your love. We can speak of your goodness. We can testify of your grace. We can be excited at the benefits that you bring our way. Oh God, when those things are not there, we're not complete. We're like the prodigal in the hog's bin, wandering around in the slop. Our nose is in the mud. Oh God, I pray that you might work in our hearts. And we might very intently inspect our lives. Are we really bringing praise? Has it come out of our heart? Oh God, as we sang, because he lives. If it was just a song, convict us. If it was something that was heartfelt, oh God, thank you. Bless and work in our hearts in these moments. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.